Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 86 for June 7th, 2007. Today's special guest will be Mitch Gittleman, studio manager at FASA. He's going to be talking to us later in the show about a little game called Shadowrun that everyone here at PC Gamer has been playing a lot of. Stay tuned for that.
So what else are you doing while you listen to the PC Gamer Podcast? Are you playing a game? Are you talking on the phone? Are you feeding your dog? Well, if you're a mega multitasker, then you should enter PC Gamers and AMD's Mega Tasking Contest for a chance to win a Vigor gaming PC powered by AMD. Just make a short film that demonstrates you mega tasking, which is basically you doing as many things as you can at once. Upload it on YouTube, and you could win a fat new Vigor gaming PC. So for the rules, go to www.pcgamer.com/megatasking. Maybe you can do it while you're reading a PC Gamer magazine, doing your taxes, cooking lasagna, washing your car, and feeding your fish.
I am your host, Greg Viederman, and I'm joined today by Norm the Intern.
I need a res.
Former EIC and current PC Gamer Backspace columnist, Gary Witta.
Did he say I need a res or I need a raise?
Both.
Well, probably both are equally valid.
Yeah. Senior Associate Editor, Dan Stapleton.
Howdy.
And, of course, our intrepid podcast producer, Jeremy Williams.
Hey, guys.
A little later in the show today, we're going to be speaking with Mitch Gittleman, the studio manager at FASA, about a little game called Shadowrun, so look forward to that. But first, as DJ says, the news. I think the first thing we probably want to talk about is the Penny Arcade issue. I wrote a letter to the editor in our July 2007 issue. The one with Penny Arcade on the cover.
You mean a letter from the editor?
Letter from... What did I say?
Letter to the editor.
Oh, yeah. God. I was asking myself... It was an introspective conversation. I was questioning myself and answering at the same time. But yes, it was a letter from me to you guys out there. It sparked a bit of debate. A number of people online have somehow gleaned from it that I hate Penny Arcade and that, you know, I didn't want this thing on the cover. I don't like Gabe and Tycho and yada, yada, yada. And they're really misinterpreting what I said. So finally, the comments have reached, I think, critical mass. And so I decided to respond in a blog that I've written on PCGamer.com. It's my end boss column. And I encourage you guys to go and check that out. And I'm sure people will have questions and comments that we can address in upcoming podcasts down the road. All right. So, well, moving past the Penny Arcade thing, let's actually talk a little bit about Shadowrun, a game we've been playing a lot of, certainly this week.
I'm playing it right now.
Yeah. Norm, I guess, has been, he's doing our review and he's been the ringleader. But even without, any prompting, I've been online myself playing until the wee hours most of this week.
Except for date night.
I had a lovely dinner. My girlfriend took me out to dinner and I told her that I wouldn't play that night, so I didn't. But I thought about it the whole time. I didn't hear a word she said because I wanted to be playing it. It's one of those games where, I think they did a great job in so many ways. It is a great game that is unfortunately hobbled in some fairly major ways. That we'll talk about, that we'll definitely ask Mitch about during our interview later in the show.
I got one way it's hobbled. I keep getting kicked.
Yeah.
which could be my connection, and in fact it is my connection in a couple of problems. I was having some ridiculous problems last night where my wireless router would just kick me off for no reason at random intervals.
I've never had it before. Have a problem with the internet connection. There was one round where you were the host, and everyone in the game except you was getting a little bit of a server disconnect every 2 minutes.
Oh, no, I always get those.
Oh, we'll see. Then it's your internet connection.
Well.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
That's up for debate. But another problem I was having was sometimes I would get kicked. Live would bump me back out to the lobby. It would try and reconnect and would go through the motions of loading and then I'd see the game for a split second, and then bam, I'd get kicked again. The only way I could get back in was to quit out and rejoin. And that's not my connection.
No, I don't think that is. And I had a live issue of my own, which is that probably one out of five times I start up Shadowrun, it'll log me in. But then when I try to play, it says that I'm not logged into live, even though I can see my gamer score, I can see all my buddies. And just quitting out of the game and starting it again doesn't fix the problem. I actually have to, like, reboot my machine each time that happens. And then inevitably, once I've rebooted, I can finally get in and play online.
But we've gotten off on kind of the wrong foot here. We launched right into the problems we're having. But those are all, you know, somewhat, they're significant gripes, but I mean the fact that we are suffering through them to continue playing is a pretty good endorsement. I mean, I haven't had this much fun with a shooter for a little while. I think Prey is the last time we all got we're all really together and shooting each other a lot.
I really don't know very much about it. Is it like Tribes? Because that's kind of how it seemed from the little I've seen.
It's not like Tribes. Tribes is a wide open spaces, vehicles kind of thing. It's more like Counter-Strike, smaller scale, smaller maps, where each team has, you know, it's kind of class-based, except, you know, race-based. You've got trolls, which are big and burly, can take a lot of damage. Elves, which are light, lightly armored, fast-moving, can't take much damage, but can use a lot of magic. And yeah, there's like a couple, like dwarves and humans, which I won't go.
And then there's a purchasing system where the more kills you get, and the more you contribute to the team, the more money you get, which you use to buy weapons each round, or buy technical abilities or essence magic abilities.
Yeah, and their philosophy for it, which I'm sure Mitch will get into, is that they took the cheats that people use in Counter-Strike and basically made that the gameplay, which is really interesting in a lot of ways. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
listening to you guys describe the game makes it sound just as complicated as it is.
It's
daunting, though. It really is. I mean, when I stepped foot in the game, I was like, oh my god, just give me Quake, man. I just want to run around and shoot people. But yeah, once you spend several hours playing the game, it's very, very good. And the role playing elements actually add a lot to it and make it quite flexible as a game.
It's unfortunate for me because it really does seem to be the game du jour right now, but I can't join in, even though I was lucky enough to be sent both versions. I have the Xbox 360 and the PC version here. My HDTV is away being repaired right now, so no Xbox 360 for me. And in any case, I'd rather play the PC version. But of course, Vista only. And two things about this. First of all, you know, I'm not going to put Vista on my system yet because I still firmly believe that the cons outweigh the pros. And also, I was a little bit disappointed to notice just how, and I think we mentioned this before, but I believe it bears repeating. I was really surprised to see how unprominent. I don't know what the antonym for prominent is. They really don't go out of their way to point out to you that you need Windows Vista to play this. There's no huge requires Windows Vista sticker. There's a huge sticker that says play with Xbox 360 gamers. And it is on the front. It does say requires Vista, but it doesn't feel like they went out of their way to make it. Yeah, that seemed a bit cheap to me.
It's tiny in white writing against a light background. Yeah. Although again, they get credit for not just putting it in the system requirements. I seem to recall a few games early on relatively early in the XP release, they put out games that required XP, and they just put it in the system requirements box. That was nasty.
You got to believe, though, there's going to be plenty of people out there that will go out and buy it, and they won't, you know, examine the box closely enough to notice it, or maybe they won't have read about this. They'll go home, they'll try to install it, they'll realize that they can't do it, and of course, you know, you can't return an open PC game to the store, so, you know, those guys are going to be pissed.
It's such a shame that it requires Vista 2, because this could really use a great, huge player base to really take off, and it's not going to get that on Vista. I mean, Xbox...
Yeah, PC, I mean, that's another great example. I mean, Halo 2, I mean, you know, who cares, really, but when they've got a great game like this, and you know, we need really good games on the PC right now, in the summertime is usually kind of a slow time. you know, if I was the developer, I'd be kind of annoyed because, you know, you want your game to be able to be played by as many people as possible, and by restricting this to Vista, they're cutting out huge swaths of gamers that might otherwise really get into this game.
And there's no reason it should require Vista. It's DX9, and besides from the achievements, there's really nothing that the game offers that you can't get with XFire or some other free tools, like the voice chat.
Well, you know, that's because Live is a Vista-only feature, but it's kind of funny because... Yeah, for the moment. And because it has cross-platform functionality and there are a bunch of achievements tied with Vista and 360 gamers, and there aren't many Vista gamers playing this, you know, we're like the bells of the ball here. People want to play with us because they want to get the achievements. They want to res us so they can get the Brother from Another Mother achievement. They want to kill us so they can get the kill 100 on the other platform achievement. And they're looking out for the Vista people.
Would it have not been so difficult, though, to release two SKUs to do maybe like an XP SKU and a premium Vista SKU that would basically be the same game but would offer the achievements and the Xbox 360 compatibility and at least get, you know, at least the XP gamers get a basic version, you know, and maybe there's still that Vista version out there to kind of lure you to say, hey, look, if you had Vista, you could be getting all these extra features.
But it would have also fragmented the audience. You'd have a lot of people playing on Live, you'd have other people playing on GameSpire, whatever the other service they were using was, and ultimately you'd split the player base. You know, I certainly wish, I was actually hoping, you know, when we were first told that you were going to be able to play, you know, this game and future games with, you know, against console players, I thought that was really cool because I liked the idea of setting up, you know, a match that was PC versus console, as a lot of other people, you know, also wanted that. And in Shadowrun, it's not even implemented that way. Like, you just start, you know, either you're looking on a dedicated server or you're looking for a game using its auto search function, and you have no idea if the people you're playing against are on a console or if they're on a PC.
The only place in the Live interface I've seen where it shows if you're playing against somebody or if anybody is on a console or a PC is on your friends list.
Yeah.
If they're on a 360, there's a little 360 icon next to it.
But I guess ultimately there's two ways of looking at this. When you've got a new operating system like Vista, which seemingly hasn't had a huge amount of uptake yet, you know, I think most PCs are still running on XP, and the Vista penetration isn't really that great right now. When you're releasing
a new Steam survey that shows gamers are kind of slow to take it up.
Right, exactly. So when you release a big game, you know, a real AAA title like Shadowrun, and it has an opportunity to really take off. And push systems of Vista, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. Is doing it that way helping to encourage people to upgrade to Vista, or is it just curtailing the sales of the game? Because people are thinking, well, I'm just not willing to spend an extra $300 and go through all the Vista hassle just to play a couple of new games.
Yeah, it's a question we've tossed around here a lot, and we'll be asking that to Mitch, I think, won't we, Greg?
Yeah, for sure.
I can say personally, it's the only reason I have Vista installed right now. And I have rebooted into Vista multiple times just to play it. Now, whether or not it's worth Vista, that's up to you individually. But it's a game worth rebooting for.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I installed it just for this game, and whenever I want to do work or anything else, I go back to XP.
Hey, let me ask you this as a quick technical question. How easy is it for me to do a Vista install kind of like in a partition-y kind of way so that I'm not, if I decide that I hate it, I can still always reboot into XP and I haven't, like, you know, done something that I can't undo. Is that an easy thing to do?
So easy. I think that's
pretty
what all
damn
of us
easy.
Doing.
Yeah.
We're all dual booting.
It's especially easy if you're willing to get a second hard drive and just install it there. Literally, the Vista process, like, I popped the Vista disk in while I was up in Windows XP. And, you know, it asks a few questions and then, you know, asks me where I want to install the operating system. I told it I wanted on my D drive. It did all the reboots, you know, got me going.
Why would I need a whole extra drive, though? Why not just partition the drive?
You can do that, but you need software like Partition Magic.
Vista won't do that for you?
You know what's interesting is Vista will, but not the install.
Or you could do it if you're going to reformat the drive.
Yeah.
Right. Vista has the new functionality where it can resize partitions once you get into the GUI, which is nice. So you don't need Partition Magic anymore. But I don't think the install will do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, hard drives are so affordable these days, Gaz, and I think, you know, if you really want to play this game, and you're willing to spend that money on an extra hard drive, which, let's face it, at some point you're going to need more storage anyway.
Well, I think I'm still going to wait, because, you know, for the last few months now, I've been right on the edge of upgrading and either, you know, buying a whole new system or, you know, trying to upgrade this current one, but clearly, you know, the motherboard and some of the other technical issues that I have, it's making more sense for me to, you know, to just build a new system from scratch. And with the components that I can salvage from this machine, you know, I can build, you know, a pretty hot new kind of, you know, Core 2 Duo system for about $600. So I think I'm just going to save my, you know, I don't want to blow my Vista install on this machine if I'm going to be moving to a new one soon anyway.
So when we haven't been playing Shadowrun, this morning we've actually kind of been laughing a little bit about, I guess it's not a SimCity 5 announcement because I don't think the announcement's been made official yet, but if not, it will very soon be made official. The news here is that it appears that it's not being developed by Maxis. To everybody's great surprise, it's actually being developed by Tilted Mill, the guys who created Caesar 4, which got a really low score from us. But they also did Children of the Nile, which got an excellent score from us and was a very good game. Needless to say,
did
the community. Yeah. Okay. I think if I recall correctly, I think we gave it something like somewhere in the 80s.
Okay.
We can look that up real quick. But yeah, I think we gave it somewhere in the 80s. Needless to say, the SimCity community is a little bit in arms about it, up in arms about it, and Tilted Mill, the head of Tilted Mill, has actually been talking about it, responding to people's complaints on their message boards. I'm gonna find some of what he says.
Yeah, because that always works.
Yeah. Children of the Nile got an 82%.
Yeah. So responding to the debate, the president and director of development, Chris Beatrice, who I met and who's a very nice guy, posted on an official statement, which is, I don't want to mislead anyone. This SimCity is not a realistic urban simulation, which I understand to many represents the heart of what SimCity is. No one is blind to that, and if you're just completely turned off, even angered by the mere notion of any game called SimCity that is not a detailed realistic urban simulator, I absolutely understand that viewpoint and absolutely respect it. I do want to say, though, with no insult intended to diehard SC fans, that we are absolutely thrilled to be part of this venerable series, are extremely proud of what we've put together, and make no apologies about what we have managed to create. And while our past experiences, including contributions from many of you, certainly inform all our ongoing efforts, this SC is its own unique creation.
Now, it is important to point out that they're not calling this SimCity 5. They're calling it SimCity Societies. So it's not going to be, you know, just another iteration like SimCity 4 or SimCity 3000.
Right.
This is something that's apparently going to focus on.
Well, did any of you play the other Tilted Mill games? Like
I was actually the first person to see Children of the Nile back in the day, before it was announced, and I also played it when it was finished, and it was a really fun game.
I mean, it really is like society based. Right?
Yeah, it was all about society.
And like the people walk around, and you can follow them, and they go.
And they're real, and they are quote unquote, you know, real people with real motivations. They don't. You know, each individual person doesn't represent, say, 100 people. That person actually is a person in the game world and has its own wants and needs. And I thought that was really neat.
So it's almost like a populist or like a Lionhead game. So, I mean, it's imagine black and white, but in a city, in an urban environment.
You know, I think what's funny and sad and unfortunate, but possibly great about the whole situation is that, you know, the game that Tilted Mill ultimately creates could be great. These guys have greatness in them. They have made some amazing games.
And they also have a 54% under
them. They also have a 54%. But that said, they have it in them to make a great game. It's unfortunate that they're just dealing with a big backlash right now because anybody who was not Maxis working on a SimCity game was going to, you know, have to deal with backlash. So, you know, time will tell how the game actually is. But, yeah, obviously a lot of people a bit surprised by the revelation.
I'm really surprised that EA would hand off one of their star franchises like that to an outside developer, especially since they've got a lot of really good developers in-house.
Just to speculate, I imagine, like, you know, they probably wanted Maxis to do it. Maxis is obviously busy working on other things. And and Tilted Mill put in a bid. And again, they're a hugely talented group of guys. You know, they have a lot of experience with city building games.
You know what this sounds like, though? It sounds like SimCity meets The Sims.
Right.
I think it's
more SimCity meets Populous.
Well, I mean, if these people all have their own wants and needs, I mean, think about it, like, The Sims zoomed out. You know, what's...
Oh, yeah, flag capture.
From a still
Norman's still playing Shadowrun. how are you doing right now?
Top of the game. Start a new round on Temple. I have 935 mm-hmm. points after round one.
How many kills?
Four kills.
Nice. Respectable.
All right, so I think we're going to call up Mitch Gittleman now and have a little chat with him about Shadowrun. All right, so we're now joined by Mitch Gittleman, studio manager for FASA. He is going to talk to us today about Shadowrun.
Yar.
I'm
so in. You know, what I love about podcasts is that I can smoke during them because I'm not in the studio with you right now, so I have a huge cigar.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, we're drinking tequila.
I'm naked.
Right? I'm chewing gum.
Nice.
And doing the podcast simultaneously.
All at the same time. We just actually, you'll be happy to hear this, Mitch. We were just recording our podcast, and Norm was playing Shadowrun the entire way through it.
Nice.
Yeah, calling out achievements that he unlocked as he went along, kills, what have you.
Very cool.
So first, if we could, you know, like I was saying a little earlier, you know, we you know, the review scores have been, at least some of the very early ones were in the sixes, you know, the 60 percentile range, and we all thought those were a little low. We've been having fun, with the game, certainly more than a 60% would,
apparently they didn't get game journalists to write those.
But to be
I'm
fair.
A little pissy about that.
I can imagine. Although, to be fair, the game does have its fair share of issues. We want to talk to you about that today. But before we get to that, I'd like to just have you talk a bit about what you were trying to set out, you and the team set out to do when you were creating Shadowrun. And maybe speak also a little bit to the people that, you know, were hoping Shadowrun would be an RPG and not a multiplayer-only shooter.
Yeah, I'll go anywhere you want. But starting with what we wanted from the game in the first place.
Yep.
What we were going for with Shadowrun was sort of a heart-pounding, you know, senses-shattering sort of shooter where you're on the edge of your seat all the time. And I think we got that. The idea, you know, people have made fun of me for saying, oh, we're adding verbs or whatever, but, you know, the idea that there are combat options and a lot of them in the game and that it's all very situational. And you have to use improvisation. So all the tech and the magic in the game are just tools that allow you to either get the drop on the enemy or extricate yourself from combat or, you know, pull out of a close call or get the artifact to the pad against all odds, that kind of thing, or even up the odds when you resurrect three of your guys, you know, when you're at 3-1 or something like that, and you mm-hmm. resurrect your guys and all of a sudden you've evened up or even, you know, gone ahead of the enemy. So that's one of the things, just from the pure gameplay side, that we were trying to do is really make it seem so that, you know, each match you were in, you just didn't know what was going to happen, and that you were excited to play the next one, and that you were exploring the gameplay so that each time you play, you learn a little something new, or you see somebody do something cool, and you go, wow, how the hell do I do that? And then you try it yourself, and you experiment, maybe even with the bots offline, etc. So that's from a gameplay point of view. Then there would be the, you know, I guess sort of, there's sort of a technical achievement with Shadowrun, which, you know, obviously a lot of people that don't understand how games are made don't really appreciate, and that's cool, I don't expect them to, but the idea of being able to, you know, glide over a battlefield or teleport instantly through a wall, you know, and a combination of those things in a first-person shooter where you can also summon creatures or summon trees of life, etc., and still look next generation and run, you know, at great frame rate with minimal lag over the internet, that's a huge thing. Because most games, you know, that are next generation out there are either hallway shooters or Vista games, you know, where you've got this wide open area. And what we've done is actually both at the same time, which is stupid in and of itself, but also being able to teleport inside and outside of a building and soar over the battlefield to see it all, and still have it run at frame rate and look good. that was a big thing for us, and we managed to pull that off. Add to that, you know, the whole Games for Windows Live launch, being one of the very first games for Windows Vista, and believe me, developing games for platforms that aren't complete yet is a challenge in and of itself. And finally, that cross-platform gameplay of being able to balance mouse keyboard versus controller and have people not even notice that they're playing against people from the other input device was a big deal for us, and I think we pulled that off too. So we set out to do those things, and I believe we achieved them.
And why didn't you set off to make an actual RPG out of the Shadowrun license out of curiosity?
Oh, because I don't have any RPG guys on my team. That was a major thing. I had just hired the lead designer of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just finished a prototype that we decided not to move forward with. And I took the guys from Crimson Skies and the guys from Mech Assault and put them together under his leadership. And we all, you know, we all loved Shadowrun and stuff, and we decided to, you know, make a Shadowrun game. And at first we originally decided to make it a first-person shooter. That was kind of a no-brainer. You know, we knew we would have good multiplayer, we knew we'd have good controls, and we'd have, you know, good AI and solid design and stuff like that. Originally we started out to make both a single-player and multiplayer game. But then when I decided to go with the whole cross-platform thing, I realized we wouldn't be able to do everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And owing to the fact that, you know, these guys were such great multiplayer designers, I just figured, okay, you know, we'll focus on making a multiplayer game. And it turns out that was a good call, because who knows when the game would come out if I didn't make that call.
Well, let me ask you about that, because obviously, like, you know, the game is extremely well balanced in all the games. I mean, a lot of people, let me take a step back. In a lot of games, people right now are playing elves with katanas, and they're using smoke and teleport, and I think it's because they want to play ninjas. But in other games, you see a lot of, you know, you see the gamut of all the skills and all the tech and all the weapons. It's extremely well balanced. And so clearly you guys worked a lot on that. At the same time, there are only, I think, 9 maps and 3 gameplay modes.
Well, there are 9 maps plus 3 alternate versions of those maps,
mm-hmm.
for a total of 12. But, yeah, 9 base maps, and there are 3 multiplayer modes. I don't apologize for that, though. You know, when it comes to the 9 maps, you know, I would love to have more. And we have at least 5 more, maybe, that we worked on and decided that we didn't want to move forward with for mm-hmm. various reasons. Some of them technical challenges, some of them design challenges, some of them just pure art challenges. Making a level in Shadowrun is not like making a level in another first-person shooter. I think you can see that having played the game like mm-hmm. you have. You know, you've got to create teleport lines, and, you know, the 3D aspect of them is pretty severe. It takes roughly 6 weeks to design one of these things. And it takes even longer than that to art them up. So it's an arduous process to make, and so we simply couldn't ship that many. But beyond that, I guess, you know, when I play Counter-Strike, I don't know about you, I don't know how many maps you play on, but I play on like 2 or 3 maps out of all the maps that have been created.
Mm-hmm.
You really just go back to Dust over and over again and stuff like that.
But of course, that's a free game. Right. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like, this is a full-price $50 game, and some people are obviously saying that that's, you know, that they feel that's too much given the amount of content here, regardless.
Oh, I mean, you know, when you read the reviews, it's mentioned in almost every review, the price of the game, which, you know, I understand advocating for the consumer point of view, you want to point this stuff out. I just think it's kind of interesting. You go to a documentary movie, you know, and you see like an hour and 15 minute movie, and you pay $7, and then you go to see Pirates of the Caribbean 3, it's like 3.5 hours, you pay the same $7, and it doesn't show up in reviews. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think we've got sort of a different standard in games than we do in movies. But other thing is that I don't set the price of this thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just a game developer. You know, you know what I mean? I'm just a little guy in a great big world. I tried to make the best game I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
If Microsoft priced it too high for people, I respect that and let the buyer beware, and we should mention it to people, but to lower a review score because of that,
the reason I think it happens, Mitch, is because that we raise the score for good games that aren't necessarily great when they're less expensive, right? You know, if you've got a budget-priced game that is fun, the fact that it costs less than a full-price game means that it gets a slightly higher score. And I think that's the way a lot of reviewers handle those types of things, and that's why I think you're seeing the price being brought up in your review. I'm curious to know if it were up to you, what price you would have set, and were you a part of any of the conversations where those discussions at Microsoft were taking place?
Yes, I was part of the conversations, and I advocated for a different price. What price that was, I think I should keep to myself.
Right.
But I will say it wasn't the price that shipped. But like I said, I'm just a little game developer. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I'm not a marketing guru or a sales guy. And, you know, I'm all about the gamer, you know, so
sure.
I want them to get a good value. The problem with the reviews that I read is, besides talking about that, I think they're all asked backwards. They talk about the game in terms of what it isn't rather than what it is. I just talked to you about, like, several achievements that we've done.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to overstate this, but come on, it's the first cross-platform game. We actually were able to, against all odds, balance the mouse keyboard versus the controller. We get no cred for that in these reviews.
Well, just to play devil's advocate for a second here, because there are parts of your argument that I do agree with. But to play devil's advocate, what is the consumer benefit of having cross-platform play when you don't actually know if you're playing against Xbox players or PC players? I actually thought going in that you'd be able to set up matches where you would know, like you could have the PC guys versus the Xbox guys. And
well, you can go into the guide and find out who's doing it, who's on what. Just press the home key on the PC.
Yeah.
Or go into the guide, you know, the jewel
and that's,
key.
Isn't that just your friends, though? Isn't that just your buddies? If you're playing with a group of people you don't know, can you still see if they're Mac or PC?
Yeah.
It's in the guide. Not in Mac. It's in the guide if you go, it's like the recent players list. But I think what Greg's saying is when you press tab or something, it's not immediately in the menu. You can't sort it. There's no setting where you can sort it beforehand where servers will be just, you know, Vista PC or Xbox.
For that reason, Mitch...
I don't disagree with that. I think that, you know, we have integrated voice chat in the thing. You can say, which, you know, what control scheme are you on? Now, granted, it's not vetted that way. I suppose you can go into the guide and do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nevertheless, we did it. You know,
well, was that
balanced?
They are, though. They definitely are balanced. And I've been surprised numerous times to hear, you know, that guys are playing on 360 or guys are playing on PC, and I had no clue. I mean, I've been.
You know, and the thing is, people, you know, all over the boards, all over the internet, in every interview I've done, they're like, you can't balance those things. I'm like, yeah, we can, and we did, and still, it gets like a mention in a review, just going, you know, and you can play it this way.
Because
they did a really great job of it.
I think the trade-off might be, and Jeremy, you could speak a little bit more to this. Jeremy is like an old school Quake guy, and for him, the feel of Quake is more solid. When somebody is as good as Jeremy is at shooters, the feel really, really matters, and there is a feel to Shadowrun that I'm quite happy with. But to people that are really good, they feel like the game isn't quite playing fair with them, and that they're not exactly, you know, that there's some things that are going on behind the scenes that are, you know, helping this balance play out across 360 and PC platforms, but that it's...
I don't know. The first thing on the feel thing, Greg, you know, and Jeremy, that makes sense. It's like, you know, the feel of a James Bond movie was kind of, you know, natural and felt good, and then all of a sudden the Bourne Identity came out, and now all of a sudden James Bond movies start to feel like the Bourne Identity. So we'll see what happens with the whole feel thing as time goes on. You know,
right.
When it comes to the controls, I think partly that's preconceived notions. People come in expecting us to nerf the PC controls and stuff like that, and so they're like, yeah, this, you know, this game is just BS. They're just nerfing it up and stuff like that. And, you know, we didn't nerf the controls. We balanced the controls, you know. So, you know, to your point, you know, you're playing it, you like it, to each his own, you know. it's not like I was out there to make, you know, Halo the McDonald's, you know, the Big Mac and fries of shooters.
Right. You're trying to do something very different.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, I guess, is when I read these reviews, we're not getting credit for innovation, you know? And
do you feel, though, that that's because you can't actually set up games to play, you know, console versus PC? Do you feel that it's because it's not like the end user doesn't need, you know, isn't informed that he's playing against what platform he's playing against, so it's ultimately not a big deal for him. It's all, the only benefit at this point seems to be that there's maybe a slightly larger pool of people to play with, but that's not usually a problem in a popular shooter. I'm just trying to see, and this is not a knock against Shadowrun in particular.
Oh, don't worry about it, man. You're not coming off like some sort of jerk or anything.
Not yet.
The day is young. By the way, while we're talking, I got stung by a bee, so this is awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mitch. I'm sorry.
My ear that I have my phone next
ow!
To
me. Oh, my goodness. Very sorry.
Ow.
I understand what
you're saying about the cross-platform part of it, but there's also the whole gameplay aspect that, you know, we haven't touched on yet either. You know, the ability to teleport and glide, summon creatures to fight for you and see through walls and combine these things in weird ways. You know, that's quite a bit of innovation there too.
It plays very
differently than other games.
I think it's wonderful, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, I promise you. I'm
sure,
not going to
no
just
problem.
Have this. But I think, you know, these are a lot of questions. We're getting a lot of emails from our readers asking these questions, and so we wanted to make sure that we asked them of you.
And I think they're all completely valid questions, and I hope I'm not coming off like a complete defensive jerk, although it sounds like I am. But, you know, it's just, it's tough. You know, it's one thing to make, you know, oh, I don't know, some sort of web application or something like that. When you make a video game, as I'm sure you know because you've talked to so many people like me, you know, you turn off your life for three and a half years, you know. When we ship the game, my kids are like, hey, Dad, right? Nice to see you again. And I'll tell you guys something. This is the hardest game I've ever made, bar none. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, it just does. We can't even scratch the surface of how hard it was to make Shadowrun. Seriously. It was insanely hard. You know, and that 3.5 year thing, part of that was developing a single player game that nobody's gonna see for a while. Mm-hmm. You know? That bums me out too, but that's one of the reasons why it took so long too, is because I scrapped, you know, God, half a year's worth of work. Now think of a half a year times the number of people working on it, man years wise. Holy shit.
What were the decisions behind scrapping the single player component?
You know, to do the cross platform gameplay and to make multiplayer levels, you know, the way they are, you know, that's not just a standard sort of Quake level or something like that, you know, sort of this, horizontal thing. You know, there's a lot of overlap and vertical space and Shadowrun stuff. You just can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't do it all. Like I said, it took 100 people, you know, at peak, and it took me over 3 years to do. You know, cutting single player, believe me, was a huge decision on my part, and I took incredible crap from my studio from it when I first announced it. You know, I had to stand up in front of a whole bunch of hardcore game developers and say, we're not doing single player. You try that.
Yeah.
You know, so we put everything we had into this thing. And then you sit back and you know, obviously when you put everything you have and you really try and push the envelope and you crunch for as long as we had, you know, you want to sit back and watch the reviews roll in and start patting yourself on the back. And we can't right now. And the thing that bothers me also is that, you know, when you look at the gamer reviews and the buzz on the web, you know, it doesn't really match what the journalists are saying.
Do you think that might have to do with the fact that people are upset that they can't play this game on XP when really it's a game that could run on XP? You know, I mean, obviously without, you know, if you take Live out of the equation and you just make this a PC game.
Well, if you take Live out of the equation, yeah, of course it could be an XP game.
But Live is in the equation, and Live is kind of borked right now, you know? You know, like, if it's one thing if Live was in the equation and Live was working, you know, just kick ass, and, you know, finding games was easy, and nobody was getting kicked.
Wait, I just want to address that because the live guys don't deserve it in a way. I think the matchmaking problem that people are seeing right now that's taking a little long to get into a game, that's a Shadowrun code issue, not a Games for Windows Live issue. I just want to clear that up.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Is there going to be a patch for that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Is it, do you know the time frame, if you had to guess?
Hopefully less than a month.
That would be
cool. Hopefully less than a month. The problem is that when you make a game at Microsoft, especially, you know, well, we have to go through the certification process. Mm-hmm. So you have to write the code, then you have to test the code, and we test it a lot, and then you have to go through certification, and that takes 10, 12 days.
Right.
So, you know, I will tell you that we are addressing it. We're addressing it hardcore, mm-hmm. and we'll get it out as fast as we possibly can. But it's not Games for Windows Live, it's Shadowrun.
My fault. Right.
I own that one.
Well, we appreciate you standing up and taking that one on the chin. It is what it is. I mean, the game is still fun in spite of that. I'm wondering if, as an advocate for gamers, you know, if you had to do things differently, or if you had your druthers, would this be on XP also? Because obviously, at this point, at this stage in Vista's, cycle, not that many gamers have it yet. You're not going to be able to sell that many copies of Shadowrun, no matter how good a game it is. Does that bum you out at all, or are you just really happy to be out on the latest Microsoft platform as one of its premier titles?
Well, there's a couple of sides to it, right? I don't want to just come off like some sort of Microsoft shill or some sort of Microsoft yes man, right? Mm. So as a game developer, you know, I have only one goal, and that's for as many people as possible to love our game and play it. You know, that's just that, you know. Mm-hmm. When you think of it, at least for me, I guess just speaking for myself, but I think I'm speaking for my studio too, you know, what you're trying to do really is make history, right? That's
right.
What you're going for. And it has nothing to do with cross-platform or anything like that, or Games for Windows Live. It has to do with, you know, a couple years from now, when you're at some game convention or somewhere and somebody sees that I'm wearing a Shadowrun, you know, dev team t-shirt, they're going, did you really work on Shadowrun? Yeah. Dude, I'm still playing that game every day. It's awesome. Right?
And,
that's what
and
you're
it,
going
and,
for.
And it could use a few more maps.
Of course. By the way, you know, hey, you got anything else in the pipe? You know, so that's what we're going for. You know, would XP help with that? Well, yeah, of course being on the XP platform would help with that, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I don't want to put this too far, but the honor of being one of the inaugural titles for, you know, Windows Vista and for Games for Windows Live, you know, they picked us not because we're some tech demo, but because they believe in the game.
Right.
You know? And, you know, that makes me feel pretty good. I want more people to be able to play.
Was the possibility of two SKUs, one for Vista, one for XP, even in the cards, was that contractually impossible given your relationship with Microsoft?
No, it's not contractually impossible. What it is simply that's the way that the Games for Windows Live service is architected, right? And the Games for Windows Live service is architected that way to take advantage of the security issues in the security code in Windows Vista.
Okay,
so
I guess
that's why it's like that.
I guess I was wondering if there could be maybe a premium edition, a premium version of Shadowrun that ran on Vista and was live enabled, and then you had just the basic, you know, multiplayer standard, you know, Quake style matchup on XP.
That's a question for Peter Moore, not me, because I don't own the platform.
Right. Okay.
Right. But next time I see him, I'll say howdy from you and tell him.
Yeah, it's something we've certainly been discussing internally. It's just, it's one of those things where, like, you know, this game, you know, Shadowrun, it looks pretty good. You know, it looks much better certainly on PC than it does on Xbox. But there's nothing graphically that requires Vista. And there is, from a standpoint of a consumer who just wants to be able to play games against his buddies on PC, you can have arguably a richer experience using, you know, freeware utilities like GameSpy. If this thing was on XP, you could use that software, that existing software, and you know, and set up matches the way you want them. Like, you know, I've got seven buddies and we all want to jump into a game and be on one side and fight some other guys rather than having us, you know, maybe be split up when we get into this match. Some of us are on the opposing side.
Well, if you just play private match in Shadowrun, you have that control.
But we still need to be an opposing team. Like, we're all there, but we want, in other words, what we want, you know, is the ability to start a game where it's just us on one side and then have it be an open game where the other half can be populated with people that are trying
anybody
to join games.
Right.
Yeah.
We're actually, looking at the algorithm for how we split people right now,
mm-hmm.
And why we split people and how often,
right,
to take a look to see if we can, make it better for people. So we'll see what happens there. But again, you know, our goal was, like I said at the very beginning, was to make it so that you had edge of your seat combats.
And you definitely have that. You definitely have that.
And so balancing people occasionally during a game in order to achieve that, that was part of our thinking. That doesn't mean we won't revisit it a little bit as we move forward. You know, it was great that we had a beta and stuff and we got great feedback, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that we stop there, you know.
Sure.
We're
sure.
Passive. We listen. We always have.
Are you gonna do anything about the animations? You know, people are complaining about that. You know, when you climb up the ladder, there's no climbing animation, which irks a lot of people for whatever reason.
Yeah. whatever. You know, I was involved with the decision not to put that in. You know, the idea that you could be on a ladder and then while you're on the ladder, turn and shoot, as opposed mm-hmm. to being just glued to the ladder face forward, mm-hmm. and that you could jump off and glide away and stuff like that. That's why we decided, you know, not to put in the ladder animation. We thought it would look dumber
right.
to do that because, you know, nobody's holding on to the ladder. You're mm-hmm. holding on to your gun, and you can fire
sure.
with your gun. So what do
mm-hmm.
you do? And so we just decided to, instead of look stupid, just sort of leave it alone completely, you know.
That's fascinating.
People have different opinions.
Well, so many people think that it was just an example of how the game wasn't finished. Like, the game wasn't ready and it was shipped anyway. It's interesting
to
hear.
That's a total crock.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an active decision that we, you know, that we made. It's not a bug. It's not anything other than a conscious decision that we made. And the fact that it's showing up so much in reviews and stuff rather than focusing on what the game is,
mm-hmm.
it just tells me that you know what it feels like? One guy wrote it, other people read that guy's review and wrote that too. Now that may
yeah.
be completely wrong, but you know, that's what it feels like because I'm a bitter, pissy little man.
Well, we've got a couple of bitter, pissy, well, I don't want to categorize them as that, but I think we've gotten some emails from readers that have legitimate complaints, and I think the most legitimate complaint so far is, I bought this game, it was in the Games for Windows section or the PC section at my local store, I didn't see that it said Games for Windows, or requires Windows Vista because it's such small type, I bought the game and now I can't return it, and I'm not prepared to upgrade to Vista yet. Can you talk at all about what was FASA's involvement in the box creation? Like, you know, obviously, you've, based on your laugh, I'd say less than I thought going in.
No, I won't say that. It was
okay.
Just it's just a challenging process to make a box. That's all.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of eyes on it and a lot of fingers in it. You know, let me just say this: I don't control the box. I don't control anything about the marketing or advertising of the game. So the fact that it doesn't say requires Windows Vista somewhere,
it does say it. It's just not prominently featured. The cross-platform play is a big button, and it requires Windows Vista to operate is like
yeah.
a little bit of white text toward the top of the box over a bright image. You know, it's
sure.
very hard to see. We handed it just as a test. We handed it to a few people and asked them, you know, what operating system does this game run on?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they didn't know.
I get it, yeah. Well, as a gamer and as a consumer, I will say to the public out there, I'm really sorry if you felt ripped off or, you know, that you didn't get the information you needed to make an intelligent decision. I personally apologize on behalf of FASA Studio for that. because that just shouldn't be. I can tell you that in every interview I've ever done, I've talked about Windows Vista, and when you look at, you know, the trailers that we put out, you know, it says, you know, the first game to link Xbox 360 and Windows Vista players together. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's true.
You know, that I had control of.
Right.
So I do apologize to people for that. I don't want anybody upset about something like that, and there's no way I can defend something like that. That's a shame.
Norm, Jeremy, I'm sorry. I've been monopolizing the conversation so far. Do you guys have any specific
talking to a bunch of guys?
That was the original idea, but I think I monopolized it.
Greg's a little loud. do you want to talk at all about the Shadowrun, the tabletop game, and, you know, what type of reception you've got from that, or how much did the dev team play for that, or what their background was with the game?
Sure. I was a playtester on Shadowrun. I used to play with the guys who created it, specifically Jordan Weissman, the creator of BattleTech Shadowrun and Crimson Skies, as well as with Tom Dowd, who also wrote Shadowrun and worked on a lot of stuff for FASA. Also, one of our guys, the technical director, the artistic technical director, used to work at FASA Corporation on Shadowrun, and his wife actually was the editor of Shadowrun for a long time, too. Beyond that, we've got people that have played it for years, and we've got a library of books in the studio. I will say that I haven't played any of the FanPro stuff, honestly. I only played the FASA Corporation stuff. But, yeah, we know our Shadowrun.
How do you think the game lives up to the RPG? I mean, did you design the game more for shooter fans or RPG fans? I mean, what was the balance there?
Oh, yeah, no. We did not create it for RPG fans at all, although there are obviously RPG elements in there. You know, we've said this before to a lot of people, Shadowrun's sort of an RPG game on speed, where you choose your race and then all of a sudden you're adding your skills and abilities each round until you've got this really powerful character by the end of it, and then you get to start over and do it again. So it's a very fast-paced RPG from that point of view. But no, we didn't create it for RPG fans. We created it for shooter people because that's what we know. And so that's what we did, and you know, we're shooter guys. Now, how does it compare to the paper and pencil game?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we took elements from it. If you look at Knights of the Old Republic, that takes place 5,000 years before Star Wars. This game takes place 25 years before Shadowrun. And I guess the biggest difference, because we set it 25 years before, is that the tone is different. You know, it's an emergent environment. The idea that magic is first returned to the world, it's not this major part of the world yet, and you don't have this dystopian society, this sort of cyberpunk sort of feel to it. I think that's the thing that most people that are real RPG fans don't like. You know, the idea that, you know, it's this dark future and, you know, elves are street gang members and trolls and stuff like that are in tenements, that kind of thing. Because, you know, we were making a team-based first-person shooter. Now, you know, when we were designing our single-player aspect, we had a bunch of stuff like that in there. Granted, it was still sort of the preamble to Shadowrun. We were trying to set up, this is how the world got this way, right? So that's unfortunate that we weren't able to put that story out, but that doesn't mean we don't want to, and it doesn't mean we don't want RPGs. It just means that the team that I had, you know, aren't RPG developers. We wrote RPGs, a couple of us, but that's a lot different than saying, you know, you can create a computer role-playing game.
So do you expect, or would you say that you expect the franchise to live on? In computer and video game form, be it a role-playing game or a shooter? I mean, do you think we'll see I know the game just launched, but do you think we might see a Shadowrun 2?
Yeah, I sure hope so. I mean, that's always the goal. It's very rare that somebody like us tries to make a one-off game. It's like, okay, that's good. We're going to walk away from that now. You know, that's not the way it works. You know, I've wanted, with Shadowrun, one of the things I want is to put in the astral plane. Another thing I want to do is put in the Matrix. We haven't touched on that yet because we are dealing with sort of hardcore situational combat and, you know, the improvisation in combat. So we've got a lot of things that we can add, you know, on that element. And then there's a whole storytelling element too. Plus the RPG, you know, I would love to see somebody like BioWare pick that up, you know, somebody who's really good at it and knows what they're doing.
You know, in terms of the RPG elements of the game, we've all been playing for several days, but we're still trying to wrap our heads around the vast number of possibilities that you have for character customization.
That's fun.
It is a lot of fun to figure all that out. It can be daunting at first. I'm curious, what's maybe one or two combinations that you personally enjoy playing?
For me, it depends on who I'm playing with, what map I'm on, and how I feel, but I've got sort of two sort of tactics that I take. One is, if I'm playing a raid game, which is an offense-defense game, I tend to play defense, and I'll take a troll, I'll take a minigun, it's just a lead hose, I'll take a smart link that wires the minigun and my brain together, makes me more accurate, allows me to zoom with the minigun. And most importantly for somebody like me who frankly kind of sucks, you can cookie cutter a room. So I can spray into a room and only hit the enemy and miss my friends.
Right.
The gun just won't fire on my friends. So that's one thing I do. Then I also, as my backup weapon, I take a katana and I also take wired reflexes. And so with wired reflexes, I move faster, which is good because it, you know, counteracts the troll's movement penalty for his size and strength. And the wired reflexes also allows me to use the katana to deflect bullets. So what I'll do is I'll run at a guy, you know, full bore, deflecting his bullets. And then as I'm getting closer, I'll actually pull the trigger, for the wired reflexes to give me even more of a boost. And I'll come in and with the sword and just start hacking him to bits. And with the troll, he does more damage with the sword than other races, so I can be pretty dangerous that way. It allows me to close the gap.
There was one more slot though. I'm waiting to hear what the third slot is.
Then the other one I like to use enhanced vision to see through the walls because being surprised by a troll, that can be pretty daunting to the enemy. So I like that one too. But really, the other way is, you know, on a map like, they all sort of blend together when you're not on vacation yet.
Just don't say Dust.
No, not Dust. Thank you. It was Temple Grounds. It's the exterior of the ziggurat on the side of
great
the mountain.
Level. Great
I love
level,
that
yeah.
level. That's one of my all-time favorite levels. And on that one, I love to take the elf. I take a sniper rifle and a katana again. And I go for glider and teleport, and again enhance vision, and then I glide up to a sniper perch, you know, take a couple of shots, and you got to keep moving in Shadowrun. You just cannot stay in a sniper perch for long, or you're meat. So I'll take a couple of shots, glide down, try and get that question mark above somebody's head so that I can get an unaware kill on them, and move on. One of my designers, Derek Carroll, is perhaps the master ninja. And, you know, I try to emulate his gameplay, but, man, I just wish. I wish I was as good as he is.
Were you going to ask, Norm?
Yeah, during the beta test, were there any balancing things that you guys had to tweak or any combos that you guys just didn't foresee people using? And what changes did you guys make after the beta test?
Yeah. No, there were no changes to the combos, which, I mean, we all kind of looked at each other and went, wow, that's amazing. We didn't need to do that. We did tweak the elf's regeneration power just a bit because what happens is you can run around with the elf, do that sort of hit-and-run tactic, and run away, heal, and recover your essence also so you can go right back in there. So what we did was we changed it so that you healed a little slower than that. I think that's the way they did it. It wasn't me that made those changes, but yeah, that's the way it worked there. And then with the troll, I think we changed a hardening number so that he could recover a little faster. So those were the major changes that we did from a gameplay balance point of view. Other than that, you know, we played with a couple of weapon numbers, nothing major. You know, it's funny. The way SASE Studio works is the way we balance things is, you know, we play together as a team, and then afterwards we debrief. And debrief means scream at each other. So we just get into a room and everybody yells, and then we tweak some numbers and play again, and tweak some numbers, play again, etc. And when the yelling stops, it's balanced. And that's the way we did it for our weapons, our characters, our powers, mouse, keyboard, the whole bit. It's just when the screaming stops, you gotta have it. Because that's what we do.
Let me ask you this, Mitch. It's gonna be maybe something of a tough question, but, there are a lot of rumors right now, floating around the internet, about studio closures, about FOSSA closing its doors. You even mentioned that you'd like to see a company like maybe Black Isle do an RPG version of Shadowrun, implying that maybe the next version of Shadowrun wouldn't be made by FOSSA. Can you speak to any of that at all? Like, you know, obviously you say there's maybe a patch in the works.
Yeah, we're still working. I mean, that's the thing. You know, look, rumors go out, and I'll tell you, for the team, and especially for somebody like me whose job is to keep the team focused, mm-hmm. it's really no fun. You know what I mean? Right now, we are focused on, you know, fixing the issues with matchmaking, stuff like that, keeping our eyes on the forums to make sure that our balance is as good as we think it is, and stuff like that, and we're just focused on that. And to hear those rumors just distracts people from supporting the game and supporting the gamers out there. So that's my response to that.
Well, so are you saying that the rumors aren't true?
Oh, I'm saying that I don't comment on rumors, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
I don't comment on my only comment is I wish people would stop so that we could keep doing our work.
Cool. Enough said.
I just got to get in another thing here because
sure.
it's me and I'm an intense little guy. You know, I really appreciate when you guys played it in San Francisco, that was one of the most rewarding times I've ever had showing the game off. To have you guys and OXM playing against each other and getting up going, oh my god, this is actually good. And also that podcast that you did, you know, that kind of stuff really resonates with the team and with me. You know, obviously you can tell I take this stuff really personally. So
as well, you should.
I was at all hostile.
No, not at all.
At all. But you know, to have somebody like you guys come out and say, you know, this is one of the best multiplayer games we've played since Quake 3. That's quite a compliment. And, you know, on behalf of FOSSA, I really, really want to thank you guys for that.
Well, no need to thank us, Mitch. We thank you for making the game that we've been playing the hell out of. So
that's all we want to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, Mitch, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to answer some tricky questions, I'm sure, for your game Shadowrun. Like I said at the start, we're having a lot of fun playing it. We're going to continue playing it, I'm sure, long after the review is done. And thanks again for making a cool game. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate talking to people that, you know, get the game and are enjoying it. It's really cool.
Terrific. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.
Hey guys, OC Geek here from Anaheim, California. Hey, recently you guys were talking about a mods column in the magazine possibly being implemented as a monthly section. I think that's a fantastic idea. In fact, I'm really looking forward to something like that. Just to highlight some of the independent games out there, as well as a lot of the great mods that are out there, can definitely just be nothing but beneficial to the entire PC gaming audience. So, anyway, I just want to say you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to each episode.
Well, thank you very much. And not only were we talking about implementing that, we have implemented it. The column is in the magazine now.
Which
issue
did it start in?
I think it's actually, this might be the second month. You know how these issues start to get away from me. It's kind of like, you know, blueberry and raspberry.
Yeah, the month has very little to do with when it actually
comes
out.
You're comparing the issues to raspberries?
Considering when they, like, actually ship versus,
okay.
like, the names that's on them. Like, they, you know, the July issue, like, if right now, for example, right now we're working on, it is early in June.
It's the blueberry issue.
Yeah, we're early in June in reality, but we're working on the September issue. So like, there's just, you might as well call the issues blueberry, raspberry, snazzleberry, banana. Mm. Anyway, the column is in. Got a lot of feedback from people saying that they wanted a mod column, so we're more than happy to give it to them. Hope you guys like it. Let us know.
It also looks like it started in the July issue.
Yeah,
there you have
the Penny Arcade one, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And it also looks like you're going to have Richard Garriott do a regular column.
Yes, we have. Well, it's a column called The Game Whisperers, and Richard Garriott has started it off and will be with us for a period of months. And the idea is that we transition from him to other developers, get their insights on the games that they're making and the games that they're playing.
I like that one.
Yeah. Hello, PC Gamer crew. This is Brian from Connecticut. This last Friday, the 1st of June, I managed to get in on the beta for World in Conflict, and I must say it's looking great. My question for you guys is whether or not you've gotten to play World in Conflict yet, or whether you've gotten a preview copy of some sort. The game is an RTS from the developers who brought you the Ground Control series, and if you did manage to get a hold on it, I'm wondering what you thought of it. Especially you, Dan, because I know you're a big RTS fan, and I am as well. I love SUPCOM, I love Company of Heroes, and I think this game is going to be on the same level as those two. It's actually surprising, because I looked around for it, and it's not getting that much press. It's a great-looking game, really fun, got some innovative features, and I'm just surprised it's not grabbing as much attention as it should be. I'm actually anticipating this as much as Crysis and StarCraft II, which scares me a little bit. The nuke, I know you said you saw it a while back at GDC. It's really impressive. It dwarfs the nukes in every game before it, even SUPCOM. So I think this is going to be a real gem of the RTS world when it comes out. I think it might even win some awards. So you guys should try to get a developer in here or something to talk about it on the podcast if you get the chance. Just wondering what you thought about it. Thanks for your time. See ya.
Oh, Dan.
We actually just did get in the beta too. Though we haven't had a whole lot of time to play it. I fired it up for a little while, but it crashed on me. I think it might have something to do with the version of the NVIDIA drivers I'm using. But I'll be playing with that more. I actually had to assign it out to one of our freelancers. I was kind of one of our very loyal freelancers, Brett Todd, who's one of our RTS experts. He will be doing the preview in the upcoming issue, in the September issue. So keep an eye out for that. We'll have some extensive coverage. I am very much looking forward to this one. But you know, I'm really hoping I can get it up and running on my machine.
Dan and I was just going to point out that you and I played a very, very early build going on 2 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
And you know, it had horribly outdated graphics. You know, they were placeholder graphics. The core gameplay was largely the same though, and even back then. We had a great old time playing it for about an hour.
Who won that, Greg?
You know what? So much time has passed, I don't recall.
That's funny. I remember.
I'm willing to say, you know, that you know, you won one, I won one. You know, it was probably even.
That's not how I remember it. But carry on. No, it's definitely going to be a great game. And the only reason we haven't had more coverage on it is because they have been under, you know, kind of a developer radio silence for the last 6 months or so, just, you know, polishing, and they've leaked out, you know, put out a few screens and stuff online, but nothing, you know, that we could build a whole preview around.
Greg, do you know if the beta is DirectX 10 or just DX9?
It's DX9.
Yeah, okay, so the multiplayer beta does not yet have the DX10 effect on it.
Okay.
I saw the game at the Sierra event. They did some single player test stuff, and it looks really, it's like Company of Heroes, but modern day, and the cities that they built are really, really great.
And even faster paced.
Yeah, it's almost like Google Maps, where you can zoom into like a seaside city, and you have the entire town, and then you can navigate through the entire town and command people through it.
Yeah, the idea of it is as a very quick game that you can jump into at any time during a game. You can have people dropping in and out, and they'll have a specialty, whether it's airborne, armor, or infantry. And so they're specializing in controlling one group of units.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and each, you know, it's team based. So, I'll be controlling the ground units. You'll be controlling the air units. And of course, we can both control it, ground or air, if we want. But yeah, it's really dynamic, really fast paced. lots of kind of Battlefield-esque capture the flag or, you know, control point stuff in there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And this is the game that's the alternate history where World War II
yes.
happened here or something?
It takes place in 1989.
Oh.
I think it's the Soviets invading, yeah.
Okay.
Hello, PC Gamer. This is Jake from North Carolina. I'm a fan of racing sims, you know, like Gran Turismo and Forza, but I haven't seen very many of these types of games for the PC. I've been thinking about getting an Xbox 360 so I can play some Forza, too. I've been looking for that game. But are there any racing sims coming to the PC?
Why, yes. Yes, there are. Forza 2 just came out for the 360, but the 360 wireless steering wheel actually works on the PC. Dirt is, I think, a game that's coming out for the PC, and it looks fantastic.
There's a demo for that you can download, too.
And also, if you're ever curious to know, you know, there's a lot of movement these days, underground movement on the racing scene on the PC side. One of our columnists, Andy Mahood, has a monthly sim column, and he often talks about racing games. It's one of his favorite genres, and he's always got a long list of either games or mods for existing games that you know fans of racing are going to be into. And I encourage you to check that out.
There's one indie game called Live for Speed that's one of his favorites that I would highly recommend checking out.
Yeah, although this will sound like heresy coming from me, but
especially
racing games. Racing games are one of the few areas I can see going to the console for, just because a PC, unless you have a steering wheel and everything like that, a PC, it isn't the best. You know, mouse and keyboard is not the best control method for that. So.
Achievement unlocked. Yes, triple res.
Yeah, racing games and fighting games. Although I've never
and
been
sports.
Able to, and so well, sports could be played effectively on the PC. It's just that people unfortunately don't buy those games.
The controls aren't set up.
If he has a PC that can run it, a gamepad is a lot less expensive than an Xbox 360.
True.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to ask, just change because Norm kind of chimed in there. Norm, from your experience so far with Shadowrun on PC, do you think achievement fever is going to take over PC gamers the way it has done on Xbox?
I think more so for people who already have 360s and just want to build on their achievements. I think if I saw a $20 budget game that had live support and had achievements on it, I'd want to buy it just to get those 1,000 achievement points.
Or
I have never appreciated achievements as an Xbox player. I don't give a damn about them. So I'm wondering if that's just my PC DNA.
And speaking of achievements, and this is a bit of a semi non sequitur, did anyone else get this email that was sent to me from PopCap? They were very happy to hear about all the Peggle coverage that they've been getting in PC Gamer, and they sent us this replay of what they claim to be the single greatest Peggle shot ever made.
No, send it to me. Can't
do that.
Oh my god!
It was sent to you.
Alright, so for our playlist this week, obviously, I've been playing a lot of Shadowrun. Dan, what have you been playing other than Shadowrun?
Other than Shadowrun, I'm still playing the hell out of UFO Extraterrestrials with, heavily modded. It's still the closest thing to XCOM I've played in years, and that's, got me hooked. So, I mean, it's still, I still go through there and find things that XCOM did brilliantly 13 years ago that these guys just left out entirely. And even the modders haven't been able to help him yet, but it's still the same gameplay, and it's got me hooked.
How about you, Gaz?
I haven't been playing anything. I'm sorry, I've just been so busy with work. But like I said, my TV is away, so console gaming is out. And the only thing to land on my desk recently requires Vista, and I ain't going there just yet. So I'm kind of trapped in this fissure between two eras of gaming goodness. It's not a good place to be right now.
What happened to your TV, out of curiosity?
I bought a new TV, and I was very happy with it, but apparently there was a high defect rate on this particular model of TV. Like 50% of the time when you would turn it on, it would make this really loud, annoying, grinding noise. Mm-hmm. And the technicians, it's a great warranty. Like, the technicians will come to your house and try and fix it at your house for free, and if they can't, they'll take it away. And so they took it away, and they needed to order a part, and it's fixed, but, it's not back yet. And so
what brand?
It was a Samsung.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great TV, but I was one of the unlucky ones. I dodged the bullet on the Xbox 3 Rings of Death, but I got hit by this one instead.
Norm, what have you been playing?
I'm playing Shadowrun right now.
There's something else you've been playing.
And then I go on my other computer.
There's something else you've been playing.
Not Supreme Commander.
And what have you been playing in the meantime?
StarCraft.
Yes, you've been getting your ass handed to you. That's right.
That was last week. That was last week.
That was totally last week, Dan.
Yeah,
that's
totally last week. Totally
been playing since then. He did beat me once. I will give him that. You beat me one time, which was there was a map we were playing on where there was a ridge in the middle that you can't get to without flying over, and I was just lazy and didn't get up there before he did. I can see
that Dan is clearly having a hard time shaking the demons of his Korean gaming cafe experience. We were getting his ass handed to him by, 15-year-old Korean girls. It's not like the guy who has a bad day at work and has to come home and kick the dog.
Am I the dog? Damn it.
Norm has been begging me to play StarCraft with him. But I've put my foot down and I'm not playing any more StarCraft with him until he plays some SubCom with me.
That's right. I'm also enjoying this caffeine enriched candy. Gum.
Oh. Is it caffeine gross. Or is it?
I think it's caffeine.
It's caffeine and guarine and
guarine, yeah.
All that crazy crap that's gonna warp your heart into shape.
Oh, I'm chewing 5 pieces a day.
It is the worst tasting stuff.
It does nothing to me. Apparently, Norm says it makes him see colors. But I don't get no effect. I also don't get any effect from caffeine. But I've popped like 5 of these things in my mouth, and I want to hallucinate. I am trying to hallucinate. I cannot hallucinate, nor does it keep me up. I can go right to sleep.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you, Greg. I don't get any effects out of those. All these things that are marketed for gamers as, they'll keep you more alert or whatever, and caffeine does very little to me. Although the one thing that ever had any effect was a bottle of, Mountain Dew, MDX, that they sent us. that stuff, it did start to shift colors in my vision.
I can see
and I will
time.
Never go near that stuff again. It was too bad.
But isn't that stuff like also it's 10 times the caffeine and also 10 times the sugar or something ridiculous? It's
10 times the crazy. It's
yeah.
It's not good. I mean, it didn't taste very good. I didn't get a good feeling out of it. but it's the only thing that I can that's ever gotten any effect at all.
So Jeremy, are you said you haven't fired up your projector since you had the baby. Have you been playing any games?
Yeah, I've been playing Shadowrun pretty much nonstop since I installed it. I just want to say, I'm glad I found the game that tied me over until Team Fortress 2, because it was looking like it was going to be a pretty long wait.
Now, Jeremy, as an old guard shooter guy, what's your niche in Shadowrun? What have you been playing as?
I'm still working on narrowing that down, but I spend most of my time being an elf because I like the health regen. And I, what have I been using? The auto aim thing, what's it called, Norm?
Smart link.
Thank you. Smart link and teleport.
Yep.
And
teleport is glider.
And res.
Res, yeah. I'm all about the troll, smart link, tree of life, and resurrect. And sometimes grenades, instead of tree of life or resurrect.
I think I'm going to have a hard time with this game when I finally getting around to playing it. The setting and the whole milieu of a game is kind of important to me, and I'm not.
There's a ton of backstory in all the loading screens and everything, and in the manual if you go through that.
I'm not saying that it's too complicated or I don't get it. I mean, I've actually read up on Shadowrun before. I'm just saying that the idea of a world of technology and magic combined, it just sounds a bit fanboy to me. I don't think I could get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really into the fiction, but
there basically
I
is none.
Yeah, in terms of the gameplay, the story doesn't really factor in at all. It's basically just two different kinds of tech. I mean, you could explain it as tech or explain it all as magic if you wanted.
Yeah, so you could say it's a future military force if you wanted to and take the magic out completely.
Yeah. The different kinds
Holy crap, I'm watching the Peggle replay.
Oh yeah, how is it?
It's over a million points in one shot.
Logan's jaw is on the floor watching over Norm's shoulder.
I'm going to have to install it myself.
And Logan, what's that in your pants? Oh God!
1.7 billion.
Hey Norm.
Yeah.
Why don't you try to frap record it and put it up on YouTube?
Okay, I'll do that.
Jesus Christ!
Oh my goodness!
That's Logan you hear in the background.
It's 1.7 million points in one shot.
That may be the best chest ever.
that may be the luckiest pachinko shot of all time. No? No one's with me? Chirp.
Creaky.
All right, well, I think that's probably all the time we've got for this week. I want to thank Mitch very much for talking to us today about Shadowrun. Also want to remind you to send questions, both written and audio, to us at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to the mag, go to pcgamer.com/subscribe. On behalf of...
Showdown.
All right, sorry. And don't forget about Showdown. It's our
Showdown
annual
Showdown is next week.
Yes, our 500-man LAN. It's coming back. It's going to be 15
Even if you're not
17.
Going to LAN... Oh my God, we're gonna have a ton of stuff there. We're gonna have
Norm's calling about Showdown.
we're gonna have mechanical bull rides. We're gonna have giant sumo suits. anyone can come in. We're gonna have this huge Guitar Hero competition where you can win an Epiphone Les Paul guitar, two of them actually, and we're gonna have a ton of games.
Don't we have other giveaways?
Oh, and Gabe Newell is going to be there. If you're in town and want to hear Gabe Newell talk about Valve and Left 4 Dead and get a first public playtest of Left 4 Dead, please stop by. San Jose, June 15th to 17th, San Jose Convention Center.
Check it out at showdownlan.com. All right, guys. So on behalf of Norm, Gary Witta, Dan Stapleton, Jeremy Williams, I'm Greg Viederman. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week. Somebody created, Sparky created on MySpace a picture of Garfield that says, "Why you no love me, Veter man?"
That's on Quarter to Three, not MySpace.
I'm sorry, did it say MySpace? Got MySpace on the brain. I meant Quarter to Three.
You've had it in for Garfield for years.
Oh, yeah. It's been, yeah.
Your anti-Garfield bias is well known.
Everybody's anti-Garfield bias is well known, and yet that comic strip still exists.
I used to be a huge Garfield fan when I was in grade school. I taught myself to draw by copying Garfield comics.
But you acknowledge now that it's not funny at all, right?
The old ones had their moments. There were some good ones.
I would say the old ones sometimes were endearing. Like, I liked the specials a lot where they actually told a story. I always liked those.
I was okay with those. I mean, there was some in there, like this one that sticks in my mind was like Garfield saying, you know, I've taken up a new hobby, jogging. It goes well with my other hobby, lying. You know, so you know, there are a couple of designers in there that are okay.
Oh my God, 5 reses, 1 round.
Oh my God.
Hey Mitch, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're breaking up there. I think your cell phone just lost connection for a second.
I'm not on a cell phone. Hold on a second. Yeah, I know. Sorry, my daughter turned on the microwave. Yeah, you can tell. So I'm a rich game developer. You know, and I got the stuff in my house.
Lineage leads 5-2. Comeback time. I
challenge you to show me the difference between 1080i and 1080p. I can't see it. I'm sure it's there.
So why would you...
You Peggle junkies sicken me.
So, are you really a Zen master?
I don't think it's called Zen master, but I'm a self... I beat the 400K challenges.
Dude, I beat all the challenges.
You beat all... No, you haven't.
I told you, I'm Peggle grandmaster.
You beat the one-shot challenge.
Yeah.
One ball.
Yes!
Wait, what?
I'm a Peggle grandmaster.
How did you... win the game with one ball. Don't f*** with me, Jeremy.
The one ball's easy.
Jeremy.
It took like 4 tries. Because you just have to get more... You just have to get extra balls.
Quit them, Jeremy. Quit them.
All right, let's see here. Replays.
Even Logan doesn't have all the 400K challenges.
One ball record.
I gotta admit, they were hard.
Play.
I got the 750,000 one.
750,000?
I beat all the challenges.
Okay, you are the Grandmaster then.
I am a Grandmaster. On the front page, it has Peggle Grandmaster.
All right, this is pretty insane.
I think Norm's
Jeremy is unimpressed. I feel less of a Peggle player now.
I'm telling you, I'm unimpressed because that's exactly what I did to get the 750,000
okay,
challenge.
You can be unimpressed because you've completed all the challenges.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Can I be unimpressed because I'm indifferent?
Yes.
Phew.